This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, this is Amud Yud Beis. Not Amud Yud Beis, this is Igeres Yud Beis. Hey, we're missing a page here. Igeres Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. What? You didn't do it. So we really don't have some issue here. You have Igeres Yud Beis Yud Gimel, but then Igeres Yud Dalet as far. Okay, we'll figure it out. Okay. This is a very early letter. It was written approximately in the year 1900, he writes here. You lifted my spirits. You made me very happy when I saw what you wrote. So he said, I assume the person had written a letter to him, because he writes, I'm very happy to have received the letter, and so on. If this was in the year 1900, the Chazon Ish died in 53 at the age of 73. So he must have been, at that time, about 20 years old. I guess he was a Chazon Ish at 20 also. Ki kamta valisa listeners pulpulei aratzim. You've learned to despise the pilpulim, asher bekalus hadas yisoidosam, that it comes, it's like one of these things that just comes easy, it comes off the top of your head, verifion, and a sort of laid backness to learning, veatzlus repidosam, and it is laziness that sort of upholsters it, vetvatitmach, but you mean tzedek b'mala iyun. And you turned to really working hard and understanding, be goy and bari with healthy, strong seichel, the seichel yasha, and a straight, Yiddish is a glatte seichel, ladas toris emes. Ashavodazos higam masas nafshari. This is what I exactly have made my life's calling. I want to talk a little bit about this. This is something that came about. Pilpul, the way we have it, starts with real learning. In other words, you're learning. Tosfos is our first. Actually, the Gemara is our first mafalpul. Tosfos is our first mafalpul. You learn a Gemara. Well, there are some obvious questions. There are some Gemaras that contradict this Gemara. You're going to have to say an answer. So that is pilpul shel Torah, and that's an neshama of Torah. A person who just memorizes what he's taught is an idiot, a bright idiot, or let's say an idiot with good memory. But that's it. There's no. I don't understand something. He said like this. He said like this. He said gospel of words. He said no. You need to resolve the contradiction. There was somebody in Shia once. Didn't like. Oh, we learned the Rambam. He didn't like Kash. I said, okay, we'll learn it la locha. I said, a lady comes to you with a gap like this and this. What's the din? Says the Rambam, says this. I said, the Rambam says this. Okay, so I said, you have a problem. The problem is not a shtickle tire. The problem is you're trying to pass a shayla, and the Rambam says two different psukim in two different places. You have to deal with it. You're going to have to answer that they're talking about slightly different cases. They mean slightly different things. Something's going to have to make sense. So pilpul is really the heart and shell of learning. There's remembering and knowing the stuff that you learned, and then there is being madam and Muslim and being mafir things. That's absolutely true. It also is a process that makes you very, very, what's the right word for it? It gives you the drive. It makes you an active partner learning. Memorization for a person that memorizes is easy. It's just sitting back and absorbing material. That's it. So pilpul actually is very important. What started happening was you had people that were into learning. They were very bright. And they played with it. So, here's the kasha. I could say like this and this. Or I can say like this and this. Or I can say like this and this. Or I can say like this and this. If it's like this and this, this will be a problem. This is this and that. And it turns into a game more. In other words, you don't say things that actually you really feel that this is what it says and this is what it means. You don't crack your head and read it over 100 times and say, this is what it means. You say, I can work it out this way, I can work it this way, I can work it that way. I have a friend who's very, very bright. I guess the word eclectic it describes him best. And he lived in Yeshiva for a few years and then nuclear physicist, not married, plenty of time on his hands. And one of the things... No, not regular, but he's interesting. He's an interesting character. He's been to almost every country in the world. He's my age, unfortunately, not married, and so he has way too much time. But whatever it is, he wrote... And he never published it. He wrote a work that kept getting bigger and bigger, like 48 or 50 ways in which you can fit all the evidence of evolution with all the psukim. And, you know, he couldn't care less if it made sense. That was his, he was trying to say just that it should fit this and should fit this. There was nothing else on the agenda. So some of it is wild beyond words, some of it's weird, some of it's cute, some of it is fascinating. But the feeling you get out of it all is none of it seems absolutely perfect, but rather, and none of it seems to be absolutely right in any way. None of it seems to be an attempt. It just, whatever works. So it's like, how many different ways can you combine these letters and make a word? That's all the game is. So people learned like that, and the attitude was, I can say anything, and I'm right. I ask and answer and answer and ask. I never even think that this might be pshat, but you can't prove it, it's not. Whatever you'll prove, I'll disprove, and so on. That's all. And that was the pilpul that was widely despised by most of Israel. There was a sense of it. It became a game. I think I told over a story with Rabbi Ochper. Rabbi Ochper was once somebody, a bright fellow like that type, came to Rabbi Ochper, and he told him a shtickle Torah and a Rambam, to answer Rambam. So Rabbi Ochper thought, and he said, no, but there's a stereotype from Rambam here. So the guy thinks of it and says, okay, we'll say the opposite. The Rambam holds not like that. Rabbi got very annoyed. And he said in the old days, they used to have a circus, like a mini circus would come to a town. And one of the things they did was they had a guy who played an accordion. And there was a bear that he had in chains. And the bear would dance to the tune of the accordion. That was like a shtick. You paid money to see it. So... Rabbi Ochper got very angry at this person. He said, what do you think? The Rambam is a bear dancing to your tune? You want the Rambam holds this way, you want the Rambam holds this way, you want the Rambam holds it the other way. You know, he said, have you ever gotten sick over Rambam? Have you ever sweated bullets to try and understand what does it mean? And that was a big... If people felt afterwards, so bright guy would show off. I could answer this in 89 different ways, and nobody can catch the mistake, and this and that and so on and so forth. It shows a certain lack of seriousness of the learning, and therefore and he says, I'm glad that you turned away from it and you began to want to learn to really understand. So he says, this is my life's calling from whatever I remember. He was 20 at the time. When you started being cornered in Memchas Dvarim, he said, and this is a Chaznish's typical sort of double meaning. He said, and I'm very happy that you're beginning to be kind of Memchas Dvarim Shatoy Nikas Bem. He said, and one of them is Dikduk Chaverim, meaning listening to what others have to say. And I'm telling, the fact that you're open to listen to my critique, that itself is very important. I'm going to send you what I think is right. Not in all the details that you sent, not in all the points. Every point that you made in itself is big. rak pi ikat dvarai. Vavakesh is idida loshig mula de eni daiter achim chalabon metam. So I'm going to deal with some of the major points you've written, and I would like to hear back from you a little bit about it. Gam yodieni mikola she'ito letova. I also would like to know what good has been happening to you. Has anything new happened in your father's in your family's home? Ki af ki korva nechalem bekirva mokram yosim mcha. Idi asra kevin yosi. Even though I live closer to them, but you are much closer to them. You obviously much closer. You know what's happening. Vine derish Shlomo varcha bekolt of solo kinafshir yosi dida mitzap beliers v'ktusnaf shabagol. And you know, I'd like to see. You know, I'd like to you know, hope he best and so on and so forth. So the point that he makes here is against the light pull, against the sort of the letting things run quickly and so on. Let's touch on one more point. This Chazish's main point is that all the things Chazal said about learning. And the wonderful things that learning, the effect that learning has on you, is conditional on Amelus Betorah, which means instead of learning being an absorption process, it is a proactive working process. So if you sit back and listen, that's not really learning. If you think actively, this is what he asked, this is what he answered, and you go over it a bunch of times like that, and then you think about it and you say to yourself, what is the question really and how does it answer it? So the two ends that the Chazon Ish is cutting out of the picture is passive absorption, kind of sitting back and learning. If you do it like that, there's always Kedusha in Torah. Torah is always good for you, but it's not something that really, really gets something. Secondly, the learning of even the bright people who seem to be very active, and they ask some kashin to roots of saying svaris and the yukim is that, if it comes out of a lightness, it's not something where the person is really breaking his head to honestly understand what does it say and what does it mean. That is in the Chazon's world. That's the Amelus Betorah that changes a person. No passive activity, no activity that doesn't require effort, just like exercise. Anything that you don't need to sweat on doesn't actually leave you with much of an effect. The massage feels very good, but its effect on you is minimal. When you work, when you expend effort and sweat, that's when you really get the effect of Torah. And this is the Chazon Ish's, I mean, this is the Chazon Ish. He himself was a very bright person, but he worked very hard. And you see it in all his writings, which is an immense amount. He worked through a sugya until he felt he was oimid on it. And every detail had to fit in, and every point was made, and he was extremely confident. Like he felt he had done the maximum possible fit in the sugya, and therefore what he's saying is his emes, it's an emes. Okay, we'll hold it here.
We'll have to redo the missing.